Welcome to Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters. I am your host, Arden Bevere, and today we have a very exciting conversation to share with you. I am talking with one of our close friends, Tom Crandell, and Tom and I met a long time ago, and he has just been such a voice into my life on a lot of areas, but today we're going to be talking about a very important topic, and that is navigating temptation. So you don't want to miss this conversation. Take a lot of notes, have open ears to listen, and I hope you get something from it. Today, I am so excited because we are joined with Tom Crandell. And Tom Crandell is the youth. Are you youth and young adults, or is this youth?
I'm the youth pastor and director of Young Saints, and then I oversee the evangelism department here at Bethel as well.
Amazing. Yep. So at Bethel, which we love Bethel, we've been able to do many things with them, but just the ministry that they have. And Tom, honestly, your voice for this generation, I'm so excited about adding it to this conversation, having a conversation with you. So thank you so much for being on.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm excited. I love this topic. I love you. Your new book, this is going to be a game changer for a lot of people.
So thank you.
I'm excited for what you're doing, Arden.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Tom. And guys, what we're talking about today is an important topic. I know we've done a course on this, but we just think this is a topic that's an ongoing conversation because there's a lot of things in culture that's trying to shift mindsets and perspective, but we're talking about sexuality. We're talking about, as a young person, navigating your sexuality in a righteous and well way. But before we go into that, Tom, we always like to do some icebreaker questions just for the audience to better get to know you. So we know that you are a youth pastor, and because of that, there's probably been some things that you have had to pick up and learn. And I want to ask you, what is the most culturally relevant thing that you have had to learn as a youth pastor? So like TikTok dances or things like that.
You know, I got forced, into a TikTok dance for Christmas this last year. It was the most uncomfortable, awkward, embarrassing, and not just embarrassing for me, but for the world to watch. Because, man, I don't dance, you know? I mean, like, I got a lot of different things I could do. Dancing is not one of them. And they had to choreograph all these moves, and we practiced over and over again. And you got kids over there with their phones, you know? I mean, like, oh, he's moving, we're gonna dance. And I'm just like, this is awful. And so that went on Bethel's TikTok, Bethel's Instagram. It was a TikTok. I don't do TikTok. I'm on Instagram and a little bit on Facebook, but I don't have time for all the platforms. I got teams that do it all, but that one was the worst. That was definitely the worst.
I'm going to have to go look back on the Bethel music or Bethel's page and just go look back for that TikTok dance. Cause I had the same thing. I went to my wife's cousin's house, and they all just the whole time, they're like, let's do TikTok dance. I'm like, no, I can't do that. I'm like, I just don't want to. But that's awesome. Well, hey, I want to ask, because I know you have a lot of younger kids look up to you, and they probably will call you Mr. Crandell or Crandell. Is it Crandell or Crandell? I'm so sorry. I probably just messed up the name.
You're good. Crandell.
Yeah, Crandell. That's what I thought. Okay, I don't know why. Yeah. But as I read this question of people messing up your last names, I instantly second-guessed myself. But having people mess up your last names, they always do it to me. They call me Beaver a lot of times. But to your knowledge, what do you remember? What is one of the worst times that someone's messed up your last name?
Oh, I can't remember worst times. It's just a common, I always have to tell people how to spell it because they'll spell it C-R-A-N-D-E-L-E or E-L or something. It's A-L-L, like all. And so it's just, you know, or, you know, in junior high school, of course, they call you Cranberry or, you know, but a good one is I was a wrestler in high school. I wrestled for 4 years. That's helped me as a youth pastor. Because I've never been beat, no matter how big they are in youth. I have destroyed kids and made them an example to know you don't mess with me, and then they'll just stay away. And so, in high school, they called me the Crandallizer. And so occasionally that comes out. And the Crandall handle, I'd grab a kid by the head and his arm and just slam his head against my shoulder. You know, it's about unconditional love and impartation of love. And love.
Yeah.
Just make kids feel so known.
So. you're gonna get them to understand one way or another. Even if you have to beat it into them. That's a true youth pastor. That's over and beyond right there. I love that. I remember one time we had a youth pastor in Virginia Beach, and he told me he was a wrestler too. And he said, there's a, like a dad, old man strength. And he said, it will never leave me. And so he challenged me to a wrestling match and he destroyed me. So I will never ever challenge you to a wrestling match. I hope you know that. Very smart. Yes, I know. That's some wisdom right there. But awesome. Well, we'll jump into this. Because I know this is a passion for you. So I want to ask you first off, can you share a little bit just kind of overall what you guys are really passionate about, what you guys are really focused in on your ministry? I know you guys have young saints and I know you've even written a book. And so just what you're passionate about and what you want to see for this generation.
Yeah, totally, man. We exist to see young people have a divine encounter with Jesus Christ, to grow in intimacy with the Lord, to find a place where they can belong in community before they believe and be empowered as supernatural revivalists. And so whenever we come together as a youth group, we're doing one of those four things. And so our vision statement is to see revival, his manifest presence, create revival, and reformation in the cities and nations of the earth. And so that's what we do. So whenever we're coming together, I mean, we're looking for kids to just have encounters with God. That's where everything changes. I've found in discipling a generation, and helping them understand like the word of God, everything after an encounter, it's so much more easy to, help that process as opposed to before. Sometimes it's like pushing a rope uphill, So we want to bring kids into an encounter with God, and, it's where transformation all takes place.
I love that. And I think that's so huge. And I think what you're saying, that experience side of things, and especially right now, I think a lot of people are missing that. And so you guys creating opportunities for that is amazing. All right. So jumping into what we talked about on our live, because we talked a little bit about this and you scratched the surface and you had mentioned the word, a label that you had believed over yourself was the unrighteous or unrighteous. And you had so beautifully talked about, a little bit of your struggle in the past. And I know you've been walking in freedom for many years. And honestly, this was something for pornography, something I struggled with. I remember I stumbled upon pornography when I was 11 years old. And it took the trap of my life for about 9 years. Wow. What I've just noticed so much more and more is that our culture has been overstimulated and overexposed to this sexualization of culture. And I think when I was a kid at 11, I mean, it was not something I sought out. It just came across my screen. And I think even more now with Instagram and things like that, it's something that is just continuing to come across people's screens. So what has been your message and kind of just being able to encourage and really get in people's mind in the true transformation and staying away from these things or navigating these things?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, when I was a kid, back in 19, none of your business. When I was a kid, I was on my bike in a field with a friend, and I came across a bag on the ground. And I was like, "Oh, what's this?" And out of curiosity, I looked in the bag, and there was a bunch of pornography in there. And I think I was 10 years old, right around there. And I picked it up, and instantly I was hooked. And I put it in my pocket. My friend, I'll never forget, and his face, I could tell he thought this was wrong. But I did it anyways. And then I went home and I hid it in my room and nobody knew about that thing the rest of my teenage years. And it came knocking at the moments when I didn't want it to, it owned me. And then, it wasn't enough. It led to more things. And then when I was 17 to 18 years old, I mean, I grew up in Salt Lake City, Utah. Less than 1% of the population is born again there. Talk about are there any believers anywhere? I knew of four people in the school system from kindergarten all the way through my senior year that claimed to be born again. So no believers, hardly any. And so I get radically saved at 18 years old. I surrendered to the Lord and I knew the first thing I needed to do was go home and tear that up. And I did that. And it was a powerful moment. There was it's like my body was born. I was born again. And it was like kicking the flu out of my life, just like getting that stuff out. And I can say by God's grace, I've never struggled with pornography since then. Like that was in 1995, 96. Like it got out of my life. It's not something I've wanted. But then the renewal of our minds, like I said the other day on the live with you in Ephesians 4, I saw this the other day, that God's word calls us to put off the old man with its lust and then be renewed in the spirit of our minds and then put on the new man, which is created in God to be like Christ. It's the renewal of the mind. This is where the battle takes place. It starts, takes place, and it ends in the mind. And though I had not looked at it for a long time, you know, there's a lot of teaching in church today that, you know, you're just a sinner that's saved by grace. And it's true. We were all born with a sin nature inside of us. But like after you meet Christ, you're a full on new creation. Like Christ lives inside of you and you're not a sinner anymore. You are a saint of God. Just like the book your brother wrote. I mean, you are set apart. You're holy. And the thoughts that are coming at you of temptation of this world are no longer you. It does not originate with you. And so that process of understanding what's going on in the world, the spirit realm, you know, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's been the process for me in the renewal of the mind and understanding my identity that you know, I've been crucified with Christ with its sinful passions and desires. That's not who I am anymore. And even if a temptation comes or a thought comes, that doesn't mean I'm immature or I'm less of a Christian. Because if that were true, then Jesus was immature. He was tempted in all points without sin.
And yeah, so, I love that.
So, yeah, I mean, just my thought, I'm passionate about the renewal of the mind that this generation would see. That's why I love your book. They'd see themselves for how God sees them. Because the way we see ourselves is who we are, right? I mean, like as a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think, yeah, I mean, I love that because I think that's so important. And I think a lot of people, when they navigate this, especially sexual sin, they feel so ashamed, so broken. And so that process of renewing your mind is really getting you restored and set free. But I love what you said. And I think this is something that I hope more and more people kind of grab hold of this idea. And especially as you read the word, is that you are a new creation. Like that idea that the old self has been put off and the new self has been grabbed hold of, that you are now identified and claimed as God's, and you can grab hold of the promises that you read in the Bible, I think is so important. So I feel like this kind of probably ties in a little bit, but I want to ask you, what does that process of renewing your mind look like?
Yeah, great question. You know, it looks like different seasons, you know, when I first came to Christ, my mind was possessed by lust. I mean, it was just constantly possessed by lust. I didn't have all these tools we have today of, you know, recognizing triggers and all that stuff. I had pray and read your Bible. Like that was the tool we had.
Yeah.
And so I got filled with the Spirit and I prayed and I read my Bible and I memorized scripture. And that was how I renewed my mind back then. And, you know, in today's day, I'm not thinking about lust. It's not the thought of my mind. I don't walk around struggling thinking about other women. But occasionally, the Bible says that the enemy has fiery darts he'll throw at us, and he'll throw thoughts at all of us. And when those thoughts come, it's imperative that my reaction is to respond with the shield of faith. And what it looks like in that situation is, that thought's not for me, and I'm not going to claim it like I'm my own. The spirit of accusation, his goal is actually to try and make you feel like you did something that you didn't do. The lies of the enemy, they always come through thoughts and feelings. And this is so imperative because this generation is so moved by, I feel this, and not by this. And it's just like, just because you feel something doesn't mean that's who you are, and it doesn't mean it's true. And so, you know, sometimes you feel something, you feel a temptation, you feel a thought, and it's just like, oh no, do I want that? Is that me? And God's not giving me a spirit of fear. So if I approach lies with fear, I have a higher risk at taking something on as an identity, meaning seeing myself for that, rather than knowing, no, God's given me a spirit of adoption of a son, and I'm loved. So I can look at those things, I rule and reign over it. And probably the biggest thing for me, I'm constantly reading, like, I love the book of Romans. You know, something I've been meditating on as of late, Romans 5:17. I'm going too long. Just cut me off, Arden.
You know, Romans you 5, keep going. I love this.
Okay. Romans 5:17 says that for if by one man's offense, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Like, the gospel is the most attractive, I don't even know what to call it, thing, person, Jesus, the Bible, you know, on the planet. And then it goes on to say, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And so it's like, how do we live victorious? How do we see ourselves? Whatever problem we face, there is an abundance of grace. God will by no means let a problem we face, a sin we submit to, or a thought we have be drowned out by his grace and his mercy and his love.
I love that.
It's his abundance of grace and a gift. It's a gift of righteousness. Like, I'm not righteous because of what I did. I'm righteous because of what he did. And so I can stand with this gift. That's just how I see myself. I'm righteous.
Yeah. Taking that position, I think is so key. What you just said before too. I love it. I remember there was an old, like American Indian, legend where it was a young boy talking to his father or his grandfather. And he said, the grandfather told the young boy, he said, you know, within every single person's mind, there are two wolves. And he said, one wolf manifests itself as everything that is evil, you know, hatred, sin, you know, lust, all these things. And he said, the other wolf manifests itself as all the things that are good, you know, happiness, thankfulness, gratitude, all this stuff. And the boy kind of positioned this, and the boy kind of looked back at his grandfather and said, well, which one wins? And he said, whichever one you feed. And I think that's so true, is that when those lies from the enemy comes into your mind, it's important for us not to take on and think that that's who I am. This is, hey, this is me. Like, I'm stuck in this and I'm not going to get free. I think so. And I think this kind of leads into maybe a big conversation. And something I would love to hear your voice on is a lot of people today have made their sexuality so much their identity. What would you speak to this generation as they are navigating that, where people are saying, well, you know, hey, this is so much a part of me and have made that a part of them and are trying to be restored?
Yeah. Wow, man. What a great question. You know, I talked to a girl from the UK not too long ago, on my Instagram live feed. And, when she was 9 years old, her mom died, her dad went through nervous breakdowns, and she grabbed the most real thing she could find in her life. And that was, she was a girl. She was actually a boy trapped in a woman's body, and she wanted out. She wanted to take on a different identity. And so she did that. She transgendered to a male lifestyle, and she just took on a load of shame through it. She couldn't look at people in the eyes. Her head was down all the time. And then when she turned around 18 or 20 years old, she started going to a church, and they just loved her unconditionally for where she was at. And that love transformed her. She got radically saved. She left that lifestyle. She connected with me on an e-course that I did, and she got emboldened to share her story. Now she's sharing her story and just preaching her story, and people are getting just touched and receiving hope. But like she told me on that live, she said, fundamentally, I believed that it had nothing to do with homosexuality. I believed I was a boy trapped in a girl's body. Like I was supposed to be a boy. And it wasn't until she encountered the love of God and she realized the truth is that's a lie. And that even though I feel it, that doesn't mean it's true. It's actually a lie. It's one of the biggest problems with this generation is because I feel it, it's got to be true. And here's the thing. I've said this before. Sex is soul glue. It's beautiful and it's dangerous. God gave us the ability to have sex, and whatever encounter you have sexually, whether it be with pornography or a human or whatever it is, you are created to, you have the ability to choose who you give yourself to. And when you do that, you are glued to that person. That's why God is so specific in his warnings that do not give yourself outside of this amazing, powerful covenant I've given you called holy matrimony, where you can have safety to practice as much of that as you want to with one person for a lifetime and not worry about STDs or getting pregnant and all the fear, but be completely free and to enjoy this gift I've given you. This is why, you know, this is the yes God's given you. And so I don't know, like so much of this generation today is struggling with an identity, you know, because the devil is a liar. He's a murderer. And he's using this gift against this generation, which is why I'm passionate to come alongside of you and declare Jesus Christ will set you free. He is the only way to freedom, and he will fully restore you in your identity. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He paid the price on the cross, and the way to freedom is through looking to Christ. Like, I mean, I could just preach the gospel right now, but this John chapter 3, he's talking to Nicodemus. He's talking to Nicodemus, the religious ruler of the day, right? And Nicodemus, you know, was like, man, we know you're from God. And he says, you got to be born again. And he didn't get it. Jesus alludes to one Old Testament conversation, one Old Testament passage in this conversation, only one. In John 3:15, he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him won't perish, but have everlasting life. If you look at that story, in Numbers 21, Moses was with the children of Israel. Long story short, they sinned and grumbled against God. So these fiery serpents were released into the camp. They begin to bite people. They begin to die. Moses cries out, God, what do we do? God speaks to Moses, says, craft a serpent, put it on a pole, raise it up. All who look to it will be healed. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy, cursed is the man who's hung on a pole. So Moses hangs his pole up in the air. They all look to him and they're healed. Super bizarre story, but it's not. It's prophetic, because when Jesus comes along and he's exalted on the cross, what happened? The curse of the sin of humanity was exalted above every religious name, thought, whatever. And Jesus is shown as the one who takes the curse that's telling you this is who you are. You're never going to be free. You'll always be bound. You're always going to be this. And it's just like, no, look to Jesus on the cross and you will be freed as you gaze upon the one, because he's no longer on the cross. He's alive, and the Spirit of God is there to set us free. And anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Oh my goodness. I'm just smiling here, because I'm just getting a sermon. It is absolutely amazing. I love how passionate you are about this, and passionate for our generation to be set free from this. Because it, like you said, it's such a bondage. And I love that. I think you just beautifully explained that with such love and just bringing around the gospel with like a true pastor. So I love that. Thank you so much. I want to ask you, what is in this one of the last question, but what is, and this could be kind of even tied into that a little bit, but what do you feel like is a common misconception that you've been seeing as you've been pastoring so many kids, that you want to see, you know, men and women overcome in this area?
In sexuality.
Yeah, correct.
Common misconception,
something they believed over themselves, and have you seen, you know, as you've been having conversations, as you've been talking with these and pastoring kids?
Yeah, great question, Art. You know, I'd probably say people today just feel hopeless. You know, they just feel like, man, I've gone too far. I'll never be as awesome as that guy that's talking about this. I'll never get married because I've screwed up. People just feel like, you know, I'll never have a normal life. I'll always be XYZ this way. And I want to just say right now, as a friend, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Like, there is all, if you're still breathing, man, there is hope for you. Listen, I was that guy in the crowd at 18 years old when pastors would stand up and talk about, don't have sex before marriage, don't look at pornography, da 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 da, save yourself, be a virgin. I was the guy in the crowd who sat there and thought to myself, please talk about redemption, because that's what I need. And man, I want to encourage you that God is so, he is holy, he is just, he is the judge, and you want him to be, because he's not here to be judgmental towards you. He's here to come against the thing that's actually destroying you, like a father.
Yeah.
The one who is holy, just, good, righteous, all those things, is also equally merciful, loving, kind, gracious. Like, this is who God is. And the way you find him is by looking to Jesus. Again, it's just like, man, if you want to find out how does God feel about me in the middle of my sin? How does God feel about me in the middle of my dysfunction? You just need to read about Jesus, because Jesus is what God looks like. Quit looking at your church name. Don't look to, you know, tweets and all sorts of stuff going on social media. It's time to put away the distractions, put on worship music, and read about Jesus, because every person who ever came to him, he never drove away. He was gracious. He was compassionate. He came full of grace and truth, and he set everybody free who came to him. There is nobody beyond hope. And when you come to Christ, it's just like, here's the answer for the questions of sexual brokenness in society today is found in the person of Jesus. Because, you know, it's not just about quitting pornography or stopping being attracted to a person of the same sex. It's not a sin management program. It is a come to Christ and understand the gospel is this: we die with Christ. It's the greatest. You come to Christ and you die. I'm crucified. I got killed with Christ on the cross. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And so the old guy that I didn't like, guess what? The liar. I used to be a liar. I was a cheater. I was all those things. He died with Christ on the cross. I got buried in a grave and I was resurrected in the newness of life. This is Romans chapter 5 and chapter 6. And the Bible now says that I am dead to sin. It's like a third shoe. I don't need it. And so it's no longer who you are. And so I would say, man, you come to Christ as you are. Let him wash you in the blood of Jesus. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you know, get connected with other believers that can pull out the gold in you, know you for who you are, and help you walk in your new identity as a saint of God, as a son.
I love that. That's amazing. The message of redemption. Tom, thank you so much. Thank you for speaking into all of our audience and just honestly being super honest and real with your story, because I know this is as I said, it's a conversation that's an ongoing conversation, and we want to make sure we're having it with the right people, and we want to make sure we're having the hard questions asked. And I think you so beautifully answered all of those questions. I love how passionate you are about this. I think it's absolutely incredible. So Tom, if people want to get connected with you, how can they do that?
You can just, Instagram's the main platform that I'm connecting with the world on.
Not TikTok? I thought you were starting up a new TikTok account, right? Perfect. Awesome. Well, we'll make sure that we'll actually put that in the show notes. That way you guys can get connected to Tom and just continue to follow his messages. So guys, thank you so much. And Tom, thank you for joining us. It's been a huge honor. And guys, thank you for joining us today. I hope you got something out of this conversation. I know we did. And if you guys are new to this channel, please make sure to leave a like and subscribe. Please leave a review. Let us know any topics that we can talk about, things that you want us to have the hard conversations around. We always love addressing those things. And until next time, this has been Let's Talk About It with Sons and Daughters.